Welcome to the Grace Abounding Broadcast, brought to you by the congregation of the Shreveport Grace Church that meets at 2970 Baird Road in Shreveport, Louisiana. My name is Ken Weimer, and it is my privilege to bring to you today a message that seeks to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and His glorious person and finished work of salvation accomplished for sinners at the cross. Please stay tuned. I want to speak with you today about God's prophet. There are many today that claim to be prophets of God. You'll see some still taking that title to themselves. But how do we know who is a true prophet of God? Moses, many thousands of years even before Christ came into this world, told those of his generation that God would raise up unto them a prophet. I'm reading from Deuteronomy chapter 18, beginning with verse 15. And I would ask you to listen prayerfully as I read. This is the word of God. Deuteronomy 18:15, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, How shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is, the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him." Now there's no question that this particular portion of Scripture pertains to the Lord Jesus Christ. The editors of the King James Version even took care to put the word prophet in capital, so that we understand that in this portion, it's not just speaking of any man who claims to be a prophet, but the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So in verse 15, where I read, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet," with a capital P, "from the midst of thee," we could put the name of the Lord Jesus Christ there. You see, the word Christ is actually a title. It is a word that means anointing. And those that were anointed for God's service in the Old Testament were prophets, the priests, and the kings. And in all of these three offices in the Old Testament, they were typically separate. One who was a prophet was not a priest, and one who was a priest was not a king. But the Lord Jesus Christ was all three. And so we're considering today the Lord Jesus Christ as God's prophet. In verse 18, the same thing, where the Lord said, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee," like unto Moses. Moses was a type as a mediator between God and the children of Israel. He was a type of the office that the Lord Jesus Christ should accomplish as the mediator between God and his chosen seed. Those that from eternity he chose out from fallen humanity and gave to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be their representative in coming, in living an obedient life, and dying that sacrificial death that they might be brought to God, reconciled to God. And so here we have a prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. There's mention here in verse 16 that the people of Israel were afraid to hear the voice of God directly. In fact, they begged Moses not to hear the Lord's voice anymore. God is holy. He's just. And were he to fully and completely and directly reveal himself to a sinner apart from an absolute mediator and substitute, no sinner could survive. In fact, the Lord told Moses that in Exodus 33, that no man could see God and live. And even for Moses, he was pleased to cover him in the cleft of the rock as he passed by to see his glory. No man can see God and live except it be through a mediator. And that mediator is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you can see verse 16 as a reminder. When the people said, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not." Such is the case of any sinner in whom God has revealed his absolute holiness and justice and righteousness. If men today were to truly see God as he is, they would cry out, "Alas, I die, I perish." And that would be our just lot. But you can see the mercy of God even towards sinners here in Deuteronomy 18:17, where the Lord said, "They have well spoken that which they have spoken." God is a consuming fire, and to see in him absolute condemnation and no hope apart from the Lord Jesus Christ is truly to have seen God. I fear today that there are many running around with God on their lips, professing to have seen him or heard him, but they talk about it in such a light and trivial manner that it's clear that any sort of God that they have seen or professed is not the true God. Otherwise, they would be like the Apostle John in Revelation, seeing the Lord high and lifted up. He fell, as it were, as dead at his feet. Or the cry of Isaiah in Isaiah 6, "Woe is me, I am undone." But here's the mercy of the Lord toward sinners when he says, "I will raise them up a prophet." The word prophet means one to reveal unto them the very person and character of God and all of his attributes, and to do it through his Spirit. None can truly reveal God unto sinners except it be the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the message that John, who was one of Christ's apostles and sent out to proclaim Christ to the people of his generation, in John chapter 1, he spoke of that no man has seen God at any time, in John 1:18. But the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And even the Lord Jesus Christ himself, speaking to his disciples and those of his generation, in Matthew chapter 11, and a lot of people like to just quote part of this portion of Scripture in verse 28, where it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And there are some false prophets that go around just applying that to anybody and everybody, but we always have to consider the word in its context. To whom is the word of the Lord revealed? Just like back here in Deuteronomy 18, the people ask, "How shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? How can we tell the difference?" Well, here in Matthew 11, in verse 27, we read, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father." This is Christ the Lord speaking. "And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And then we read, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's a connection between the Son revealing the Father in the heart of a sinner and the command to come. This isn't to everybody, but the command to come is to those that the Lord Jesus himself, by his Spirit, has revealed in the heart of that sinner their desperate need. Because to see God high and lifted up, to see him as holy and just, has that effect of causing the sinner then to be heavy laden, to be brought low, to have no hope in himself or herself, and to cry out for mercy. And the command of God's prophet, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is to come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and he says, I will give you rest. This is not just some general invitation to walk an aisle or to say a prayer, as you see in some of these campaigns or so-called crusades where people blowing bubble gum and smiling and walking down to the front to shake the hand of a counselor is considered today by many to be coming to Christ. I fear that there are many who have taken a counselor's hand and many that have submitted to a preacher's whims to do what the preacher has asked. They perish. They are in the broad way that leads to destruction, never having heard the voice of Christ. Here in Deuteronomy 18, when Moses makes this declaration that the Lord God would raise up unto them a prophet, it says, from the midst of thee. So in other words, he would be raised up from among men. And clearly, when we understand the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was God in the flesh. John himself declared that the Word was made flesh. The Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. And yet he was raised up from among the brethren. Who are the brethren? Well, those that God from eternity purposed to save and gave to his Son to be their substitute, and for whom he laid down his life and died. All of those are Christ's brethren. When you read over in the book of Hebrews in chapter 2, our Lord's words are recorded as speaking to the Father and saying, behold, I and the children that thou hast given me. Those are Christ's brethren. He's not ashamed to call them brethren because he came to pay their sin debt and to put away that sin that was the dividing between a holy God and themselves, to reconcile them to God by his death. And now by his Spirit and his Word, he's pleased to reveal himself and reveal the Father in them, that they might know God in truth. It's a simple message, a simple gospel, and certainly to believe anything but the Word is to perish, just as Moses said here in Deuteronomy 18, that if any other man come who will presume to speak a word in God's name, verse 20 of Deuteronomy 18, and which God says, which I have not commanded him to speak. So that tells us right there that there are many who are gone out into the world, who are running, who are speaking, who are proclaiming a message, and yet God has not commanded them to speak, or that they speak in the name of other gods. I hear preachers today using the name of Christ, and they will do things in his name. They will make pronunciations in his name. And yet, how they describe him, how they describe his character, how they describe his work and his death at the cross is in contrast and diametrically opposed to how he reveals himself in the Word. You say, how so? Well, today's false prophets have a Jesus who is in men's hands. They preach him that way. They say that he came, he lived and died and rose again, but he needs your help in order to save you. He needs you to do something. He needs your will to be engaged, otherwise he can't save you. What a pitiful Jesus. Men are preaching today a defeated Savior because their Jesus is one like an idol in their hands to do with what they will. But such is not the Christ of Scripture. The Christ of Scripture is the sovereign Lord. He said that he came into this world to save that which is lost. He didn't say try to save. And the Scriptures know no such Jesus, no such Savior. It's another God, little G-O-D. And any that preach such a Jesus, according to this Scripture that I'm reading here in Deuteronomy 18:20, they shall perish. They'll die, and those that follow them will be condemned. You cannot come to God in any other way than the true Christ, the true Savior, that has proclaimed God here in His Word to sinners. And so, such a Jesus that is in men's hands is a false Jesus, a false God. But secondly, I would say that it's another Jesus that is being preached because of the way His death is proclaimed. Just like they have a Jesus in man's hands, so they have a Jesus that has attempted to save everybody. In fact, that's the word of modern day preachers. A Jesus that laid down His life to save everybody, but alas, He can't save you unless you believe. They say that unbelief is the thing that sends you to hell. Well, dear friends, if Christ could die for every sin but unbelief, and that were the case, then there would be none saved, because we're all born in unbelief. And none can come to Christ of Himself. Even the Lord said that in John 6 in verse 44. He said, "No man can come unto Me except the Father draw him." So clearly, if it were left up to man, and somehow Christ died for everybody and died for every sin except for unbelief, none would be saved. No, dear friend, such is not the Christ of Scripture. Such is not the prophet of God. That is not His message. He came and laid down His life for every one that the Father gave Him. And so satisfactory was His death that Christ Himself says in John 10, "Of all that the Father has given Me, I should lose nothing." What a glorious Savior. If we, by His Spirit, read this Word and see who He is in all His glory. But I have to warn you that any other Jesus is a false Jesus. But Moses summed it all up with regard to Christ being the prophet of God when he says, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee," the Lord says, "and will put My words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." Our Lord confirmed that He was the voice of God, that to hear Christ was to hear God. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, we read, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets." Now there were those men in the Old Testament, Moses himself being one, David was called a prophet, Samuel, Isaiah, Jeremiah. These were men that the Lord raised up as types and pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ, that what they wrote was indeed the Word of God and trustworthy, the Spirit of God so guiding their writing that their words were inspired and they're preserved today in this Bible that I hold in my hand. And so they spoke on behalf of God. But that was until Christ should come. And that's what the writer to the Hebrews is reminding them, who in times past, at sundry times, in different manners, sometimes directly, sometimes in thought, they took the word of God that was revealed unto them and spoke. But here verse 2 says, "hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son." Notice the definitiveness with which this word is written. Number one, are we in the last days? Yes, the scriptures say so. These have been the last days since the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. Hath in these last days, the writer to the Hebrews wrote, notice, spoken. It's put in the past tense. There's some today that say he's still speaking in an audible voice. No, in these last days hath spoken unto us, how? By his Son. The very word of Christ, which we find here in the scripture, and now in a sealed canon, is the word of God. There is nothing being added. The book of Revelation is clear. The very last chapter declares that if any man should seek to add to or take from the words of this book, that it brings condemnation. We're to hear this word which the Son has spoken, and Hebrews 1 and verse 2 says, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So everything that God has done, he has done through his Son, whether it's in creation, all things were made by him, and nothing has been made that was not made by him, whether it's in his providence, God's dealings in this world, it's through his Son. His Son is seated upon the throne. All honor and glory is to him. And nothing happens or takes place but what the Son ordains. Whether it's in salvation, the Lord Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so salvation is clearly of the Son. But also in judgment. In the book of John, we read that all judgment has been given into Christ's hand. And the Father judges no man, but he's given that judgment unto his Son. And so to ignore the Son, or to bring anything up with the Son as a rival, whether it be man's will or works or way, is to certainly bring condemnation. Now, God has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds. So this is the message that we find in Scripture, that the Son is God's prophet, and that any that came before him were but types and pictures of the true Son and what he should accomplish. Now, in Deuteronomy 18, this portion of Scripture, we find it quoted again over in Hebrews chapter 12, where the Spirit of God caused the writer to the Hebrews to make a clear distinction between the Old Testament and the New. What if it were still like the old? What if it were that there were not any mediator? That all God did was to reveal his character through the law. You see, the law was given to reveal the character of God, his holiness and his justice. Well, if that were the case, none could live. And that's the whole point of the Old Testament. Until Christ came and the very will of God was revealed through the Lord Jesus Christ, that salvation should be in him and his death, all were under spiritual condemnation. You say, how so? Well, Hebrews 12 and verse 18, the writer says, for ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. I just read that for you over here in my text in Deuteronomy 18 and verse 16. Such was the fear of dealing directly with God apart from a mediator that they feared for their lives. Oh, that men would have such a fear today apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. but for many, they'll go to their grave and then into eternal condemnation, believing that their God is going to save them regardless. You know, you hear it preached, well, God's a loving God. He can overlook certain things. Not the God of Scripture. Unless your sin has been put away in the Lord Jesus Christ and by His death, unless He is God's prophet to you, having spoken that word to your heart that would cause you to see your own sin and look away from yourself to Him alone, then there awaits nothing but a consuming fire, which is how Hebrews 12 ends. For our God is a consuming fire. You don't want to meet God apart from a mediator. And Christ alone is that mediator. And that's what the writer here is stating. Continuing on in verse 20, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. Even the animals who were not sinners, yet in that state of being in a fallen world and under the curse, even the animals were to be stoned and thrust through should they even come close to this mountain and touch it. And verse 21 says, so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. And he was the mediator. He was the one who was the type of Christ. So we dare not put any confidence in the flesh. All that is sin is worthy of condemnation. So you say, where's the hope? Well, it's certainly not in Mount Sinai. It's not in the law. But verse 22 declares, Hebrews 12, ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. The firstborn is Christ Himself. His church, that word means the called out ones, are those that God the Father gave Him. They're described here as a heavenly city of the living God, not an earthly Jerusalem. That earthly Jerusalem was but for a time until Christ came and laid down His life. He was actually sacrificed outside the gates, outside the camp, outside the traditions and the rules and the obligations of that city and what it represented. And those that are drawn, those that hear His voice, in whom the Spirit of God works, are those who pertain to Christ as His church, the called out ones, verse 23, and whose names, it says, are written in heaven. The way that is written is that they've always been written. That song that says there's a new name written down in glory and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. There's no new name being written down in glory. Those whose names are in the Lamb's book of life have been there from eternity. God has always purposed that they be the sons. And in time, the sons should come and pay their debt and put away their sin. And so as to this God and to this Christ that the Spirit draws those that are His. It says, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. How have they been made perfect? In the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Now any that are the Lord's in time, God's prophet, Christ Himself, His Word, will teach them by His Spirit. And those are the ones for whom I preach. I know that there are many that will hear this message who will turn a deaf ear. But if in the Lord's time He causes you to hear, and you to bow, and you to come to this one, the Lord Jesus Christ alone, then all the glory belongs unto Him. And therein you'll know that He is that one who has saved you, and not you yourself.
You've been listening to the Grace Abounding broadcast brought to you by the Congregation of the Shreveport Grace Church in Shreveport, Louisiana. We meet at 2970 Baird Road and invite you to join us each Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.shrevegrace.org or call 318-687-4943. Please plan to join us again next week.